Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
So I would say our special guest today, Will Siebler. Is it Siebler or Seibler? Siebler?
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
Sorry. Let me start that again. I would say that our special guest today, Will Siebler, takes a Zen approach to copywriting. On his homepage, on his website, there's a picture of a lonely but sturdy coffee cup on the table. On the coffee cup is the word begin, but the shimmering piece is shattered by a few words overlaying the picture. I'm Will. I will write words that will make your client say, shut up and take my money. It's a quiet confidence you just don't see that often in copywriters. Will has had his own marketing and copywriting business since 2003, and he knows how to get big results too. A couple quick examples. He helped a commercial cleaning company go from $1 million a year to $5 million a year just by using a simple direct mail strategy aimed at their best type of client. Online, he recently helped a building design client reduce their cost per conversion from $1,168.58 to $132.72, and he says, we're just getting started. I met Will on LinkedIn, and a few weeks ago, he shared a two-page document with me that he spent years putting together. It's not like a sales letter. It's a cheat sheet with what he calls the greatest copywriting wisdom he's come across in 30 years, and he's boiled it down to the nub. And it's terrific. I asked Will to come on Copywriters Podcast to talk about it, and he agreed because he's in Australia and Nathan and I are here in the US. We're recording this at much later in the day than our usual time. That's why there's a screen behind me to block out the late afternoon blazing San Francisco sunlight. If you're watching on YouTube and wondering, David, what's that screen doing up there? Before we get into Will's truly impressive cheat sheet, I have for you another treat. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast. And most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So, Will, wonderful to see you. Thanks for being here, and welcome to Copywriters Podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. It's terrific to be meeting on the other side of the world.
Indeed it is. Just across the big pond. They talk about the pond like the Atlantic, like that's it's nothing. It's a mud puddle compared to the Pacific. Okay, so you put together this cheat sheet. Do you want to just give us a little information about how you collected these things? And we've got so much to dive into. We can start right after that.
Yeah, sure. How it came together, I guess I just wanted to have something. I put it together originally as a lead magnet that I could offer on LinkedIn. I thought, I want to just have something simple on one page. No one wants multiple page long things. I just want to put it all on one page. And I've been collecting the stuff. You pick up bits here and there. I get stuff from books. I get stuff from podcasts, YouTube videos, all over the place. And I just thought, well, let's put them all down in one single place.
Well, yeah. And I think you did a great comprehensive job, and you were kind enough to organize them for our show today. One thing that you say on the one that you give out is that any one of these things, if you just do one of them, they will improve your copy, improve your results. And I agree. I mean, you picked them carefully and they're really good. So why don't you get started? Your first section, I think, is called Clarity and Simplicity.
Yep. So do you want me to just read through them?
Yeah. Why don't you read through them and we can talk about them a little bit. I know you've got a few stories and yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, cool. Sorry, just give me a sec. That file's closed on my computer for some reason. I apologize. There we go. Okay. So number one, be ultra specific. So don't say how good something is. Say specifically how good. And I always think of the soap that was 99.75% pure. Use short sentences. Write at grade level 6 to 8, which is a US grade level. Mm-hmm. Check this and other readability factors in your copy, and there's a variety of tools that you can use, but I just use the free Hemingway app to do that. Lose the big words.
Use the big words. I really like that one because a lot of clients, well, if you have a client with advanced degrees or, you know, medical doctor, or you have a client who's a real techno whiz, they're going to think that they need to use those words to show how professional they are. Yes. How do you fight that?
Yeah, so I have the conversation. I usually try and reference it back to, is that a word that you are 100% sure all of your potential clients understand? Sometimes that's enough. Other times I say, well, we've got to remember we're not writing to impress people. We're trying to write to get them to take action. And if there's even the slightest risk that they'll be confused or won't understand something, then we need to get rid of it.
And are they receptive? I mean, of course, that's exactly what I think. And I think I will use that in the future because it's a great way to explain it. Do you find people receptive to that?
For the most part, yes. Not always. But then if I feel that someone's communication style is that overly intellectual style, I'll call it, then I'm probably not going to be a good fit for them anyway. So I'd probably just say either find another copywriter because I can't really help you.
Yeah, good. Love that. Okay, so you want to get back to your list?
Yeah, absolutely. So we did use the words your clients use. Write to one person, less we and more you. Read your copy aloud to find the things that don't flow. Really, really important, that one. Applies really to brand names as well. Sometimes you hear brand names and you can't actually tell what they are when they're read out. Get someone else who doesn't know anything about what you do to do all of that as well. And the next one is to remove unnecessary words. So that's the first section, clarity and simplicity.
I'm just going to add, you're in Australia, so maybe you have a different take. You said grade 6 to 8. I don't know how many average Americans you know, but that might be aiming a little too high.
It could be. I mean, the lower the better. Quite often I'll write stuff that's 4 when I check it on the Hemingway app. But see, the big concern I have, and you can check any copy, but it's a particular problem on LinkedIn. You pop a copy in and you get postgraduate level. And it just means that your average market can't understand it and you just can't risk that. So, yeah, you're right. The lower the better, and the best copy probably hits under 6. Mm-hmm. But that's a good upper threshold, at least in my experience.
We had a show over here called Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And most of the mm-hmm. adults were not. So I aim for fifth grade or lower.
Okay. Yeah. Good tip.
There's a real pride in the illiteracy in America for some unknown reason. I guess it means you're more genuine, you're more tough, you're more down to earth. Anyway, yeah, no, those are really good. And I think people, they think they do all these things, but I found a lot of times, like the first one, be ultra specific. People just aren't. I mean, they think they are, but yeah, I mean, so sometimes what I say is, you know, so if you were directing a filmmaker or a photographer to take a picture, or a storyboard artist, would they know what to draw, you know? Mm-hmm. But anyway, we're through 11 of the 44. You want to go? And I really love the next section.
Yeah, persuasion techniques. So the first one there is make sure your copy contains only one main idea. I can't tell you, I'm sure you see this all the time. Multiple ideas just gets confusing. Next one, make your offer irresistible before you write a word of copy. Let me stop you.
Those two are violated a lot. And if you mm-hmm. just do those two, you're going to get better conversion. It takes a lot of discipline and more courage to just have that one main idea, to pick one thing that you're going to focus on. But if you can do it, it really pays off. You know, some people call it the law of one. So two great points.
Yep, absolutely. Give clear instructions about the action you want someone to take. So don't leave it to their imagination. spend most of the time on getting your headline, first line, and angle right, which goes back to that point of the one main idea. Turn features into benefits, turn benefits into feelings.
Okay, let me stop you there. Yeah, turn benefits into feelings. That's a new one on me. I love the idea, but I'm not quite sure what you mean. Could you explain it?
Yeah, so it's going beyond the level of the benefit, because sure, they're buying the benefit, but how does that make them feel? So if you think about, sometimes use the example of a marriage counselor. If they save your marriage, okay, they've saved your marriage. That's a benefit. But how do you feel? I mean, you feel fantastic. Conversely, if they don't save your marriage, how do you feel? You feel awful. You can go into a downward spiral. You could start drinking. You suicide. There's all sorts of horrible consequences. So I just want to go beyond that level of the benefit to actually how that makes me feel, because I believe that's ultimately what we're buying.
I think you're right. Just never heard that put before, but I really like it. Yeah. Okay. Please continue.
So get emotional. We buy emotionally and justify with logic. Add urgency, but make it believable. Make the next step as small as you can. Make the next step as easy as you can. You have one job, and that's to get someone to act now. Pain trumps pleasure as a motivator of action, and have a powerful risk reversal guarantee.
Yeah. Did you have a story about that? I saw you had some notes there.
Yeah, the risk reversal. Yeah, I'm just going to refer to something. This is an American company called Bugs Burger Killers Incorporated. I don't even know if they're still going, but they had this guarantee. They basically pest control. They had guaranteed performance. You do not pay our initial charges until we totally eliminate every roach, rat, or mouse nesting on your premises. If you are ever dissatisfied with our results and want to cancel our service due to a reinfestation of roaches, rats, or mice, we will refund up to 1 year's service charge and pay the cost of another exterminator of your choice for up to 1 year. Should a roach or rodent ever be seen by one of your guests, we will pay their bill, send them a letter of apology, and invite them back as our guest. That is unbelievable.
This is for hotels, right? Not for homes. This is for places that...
Yeah, this is a pest controller for commercial premises, primarily restaurants from memory. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's really amazing. I mean, you can practically sell just with that guarantee, right?
Absolutely. And that's about that idea of getting your offer irresistible, and your offer may well be what you're guaranteeing. You don't even need great copy. You don't need great advertising because you've got a great offer. Really, really hard to say no to that.
Yeah.
We talk often on the show about confidence. One of the things that people are searching for is confidence. If they were confident they could solve the problem, they wouldn't be looking for somebody else. That guarantee just screams confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. It's powerfully persuasive in anything.
Okay, so you have a whole section of condensed tips on research and preparation. And I particularly like this because so many people don't do it, and it makes such a difference when you do. You want to talk about those?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go through them. So spend more time doing research before you write a word. So that's about getting over the blank page syndrome. If you've got a blank page, you probably haven't done enough research up front. Understand what's going on in the world. Context impacts how your copy is received. Find the most interesting thing you can about whatever you sell. Test different headlines, first lines. One will always outperform everything else, usually by an enormous amount. Enter the conversation already going on in your client's mind. Measure everything you can. Response is your North Star.
Yeah, I particularly like the one. First of all, I think all the testing and metrics things are really good, and that's not my strength. I know it's important, but I don't know what to say about that. But I really like to find the most interesting thing you can about whatever you sell. Mm-hmm. That's not always obvious, is it? It's not always a feature or even just a benefit. It might be a secondary benefit. It might be a new way that a customer has used it that no one's ever thought of before that opens up a whole new value aspect to your product. Yeah,
absolutely. you know, sometimes it can be hiding in plain sight. There's the example that I always love of Schlitz beer. You probably heard this story. I think it was John Caples who went in and had a look at the brewing process, and he was amazed how they got the water from these artesian underground wells, and he wanted to describe that in advertising. And then the brewer said, well, everyone does the same thing. And he said, well, yeah, but no one's told anyone, so if we do it, we'll get a preemptive marketing advantage. And they did, and they became either number one or number two for a sustained period of time just by telling that interesting information in an interesting way. So, yeah, there is always something really interesting. Every time I have a conversation with a client, it's there. You just have to dig in and find it.
Yeah, and you really have to keep your ears perked up too, right? Because you might hear something you weren't even expecting to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. You've absolutely got to be paying attention. You never know when it's going to come out, but it will if you're listening.
Okay, you have a go ahead, Nathan. Sorry.
I'm just going to jump in. You mentioned context and knowing what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. There was a global event that happened a couple of years ago where most people's Maslow's hierarchy of needs, most people's mm-hmm. level of thinking dropped to the very bottom of it. And all of the things that worked really well in copywriting before that weren't working as well. And what worked really well during that time was, during these trying times, making people feel comforted, making people feel safe and secure in all offers started working a lot better because of the context that was going on in the world around. I think that's a great example of understanding maybe not just what's going on in the client or the ideal prospect's world, but even having kind of a bigger worldview and saying, hey, this is what's going on in the culture. These are the phenomena that's going on right now. And understanding how that is going to affect the way that your copy lands as well. I think it's a great example.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And obviously right now you guys have got the election coming up in November. It's been pretty eventful already. Attempted assassination. You've had the Biden resign from running for the next election. Obviously he's president until then. So yeah, you've absolutely got to understand that context because that's the world. And, you know, America, when you look from afar, looks slightly polarized. If you understand that, that can have a profound impact on how you market your products and services.
We're more than slightly polarized. But, you know, you're absolutely right. These things are affecting everything else. I mean, stock market's at an all-time high, but people are feeling very insecure, including about the economy. Mm. So, yeah, it's a fraught time. And you're right. Well, you've got so many more things. I want to make sure we get them all in. So you have testing and refinement. Yeah. Again, that's not my strength, but I do want to hear your tips.
Yeah, I mean, it's not super mine either, but it's something I have to keep reminding myself. So tip one of that is to keep trying to beat your current copy. So your current copy is your control, but can you do better? Great copy comes in the rewriting. So you get your draft out, but you come back and work on it until you're happy with it. Keep it human. AI, I've put a point here. AI is for brainstorming only, and it's just okay at that. And always test your copy on a small audience if you can, then adjust and scale based on response.
Yeah, I think that's really good, especially that last one. You know, things scale. Law of large numbers usually means it'll do better with a small group than it'll do when you scale, but it's going to be similar. And if it doesn't work with a small audience, it's not going to work with a large one either. So I love that. Yeah. What do you got next?
Proof and credibility. So provide proof for your claims. Make your proof as specific as you can. And you'll love this one. Use stories because we're wired to listen to them.
I love that. Do you have more to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, I love when you see great stories, particularly, you know, before and after stories. I find it always powerful. You've got the classic Wall Street Journal letter from many years ago. But we've had a campaign running here in Australia for what we call superannuation. I believe over there it's 401k, it's your retirement savings. We've got one that's running called Compare the Pair. and they just look at what happens if someone put their money into a typical super fund versus what happens if they put it into this other brand of super fund. And they show the difference in how much your money becomes over time. And it's just so powerful. I still struggle to believe why very few people really use them.
That's a great example. And yeah, I'm very partial to anything anyone has to say about stories and agree with what you just said a lot. I like that. Finally, you have some stuff on engagement and connection. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So write as you would talk to a good friend. Use humor if you can, but don't punch down on people.
Oh, you're going to tell a story about that one?
About humor.
About using humor, but not punching down on people.
Yeah, it's got to be self-deprecating. So, you know, I obsess a bit with a British sense of humor. They tend to sort of poke fun at themselves as opposed to poking fun at other people. So sometimes you might say, you know, when I'm reaching out to someone, I might say, you know, I hope at best this email has been moderately amusing, or at the very least, you don't want to take out a contract on my life. That's a line that I've used in some of my outreach emails. And I've had a couple of people reply and say, yeah, no, maybe I will, or no, definitely I won't take out a contract on your life. But it gets them to smile because you don't expect to get that, especially not on LinkedIn where I'm sending it.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I love that. That is a new take on humor. I've always been very cautious about using it myself in copy or advising other people to. But I think self-deprecating humor, it's much easier to control and apply when you're just selling for yourself, like selling your own services, your own product. Gets a little trickier with a client who isn't used to self-deprecating. Not everyone's comfortable with that. But still, I think that is one kind of humor that you can use very effectively in selling if you know what to do.
Absolutely. So the next one is use questions, because we're trained not to ignore questions.
And maybe you have competing on that one.
I did actually. Let me grab the – I want to make sure I get the wording right. So this one goes back to an American election in 1980, and it was Reagan was running, and the question that was posed was, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? And as my understanding is, that became a very powerful reason for why the election was won, because when people answered that question in their own heads, they said, you know, they came to the right conclusion. So questions can be incredibly powerful, including powerful enough to help win you an election.
I think it's important to note, though, you already knew the answer to the question. It's important to not ask a question that you don't know the answer already.
Right. Absolutely. We've just been through a period of terrible inflation and stagnation, and so the economy was really ugly at that point. So that was it was kind of a sucker punch question in a way, but still, you're right. When you got one, use it. Yeah.
Yeah. The lawyers use the same approach. Don't ask a question you don't know the answer to. Makes perfect sense.
Sure.
So next point, remember you're competing with anything else a client can give their attention to. And that's a lot, especially with social media and all that sort of stuff. And the last one is to be honest.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, I think, you know, if someone put this up on their wall, you know, if people email you or go to your website, you know, you'll send them a copy of this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. A website or LinkedIn, anyone who wants a copy can have a copy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and your website is cashcopy.com.au, and we'll put
that's correct in
the show notes.
Nathan? Well, you mentioned LinkedIn. I know a lot of our listeners are active on LinkedIn. How do people find you on LinkedIn?
Yeah, William Siebler. Siebler's a very unusual surname, so there's only one of me. You'll find me easily.
Nice. All right. We will make sure to have a link to your website and a link to your LinkedIn in the show notes. So if you're listening to this and you want to reach out to William, hit up the show notes over at copywriterspodcast.com. While you're there, make sure that you're subscribed to the show and leave us a rating and a review on your favorite podcast app. Guys, anything else before we're out of here today?
No, this was great. And thanks, Will. I know this caused a little, I know it's early in the morning for you, even earlier than we normally record, and it's late for us. So appreciate your flexibility and getting together with us.
Pleasure. I appreciate your flexibility too, because I know it's outside your normal times.
Not a problem.
Not a problem at all. Thank you so much for coming on, Will. We appreciate you. Listeners, we appreciate you as well. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later.
Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.